Chapter 20. The least wrong, and of the least ill consequence. Seeing if the watchman was injured, yet they could easily make him amends, by giving him another post of the like nature. But if the family was injured, there was no satisfaction could be made to them, the damage perhaps being irreparable, as it concerned their lives. A great variety of these cases frequently happened between the watchmen and the poor people shut up, besides those I formerly mentioned about escaping. Sometimes the watchmen were absent, sometimes drunk, sometimes asleep when the people wanted them, and such never failed to be punished severely, as indeed they deserved. But after all that was or could be done in these cases, the shutting up of houses, so as to confine those that were well with those that were sick, had very great inconveniences in it, and some that were very tragical, and which merited to have been considered, if there had been room for it. But it was authorized by a law, it had the public good in view as the end chiefly aimed at, and all the private injuries that were done by the putting it in execution must be put to the account of the public benefit. It is doubtful to this day whether, in the whole, it contributed anything to the stop of the infection, and indeed I cannot say it did, for nothing could run with greater fury and rage than the infection did, when it was in its chief violence. Though the houses infected were shut up as exactly and as effectually as it was possible. Certain it is that, if all the infected persons were effectually shut in, no sound person could have been infected by them, because they could not have come near them. But the case was this, and I shall only touch it here, namely, that the infection was propagated insensibly, and by such persons as were not visibly infected, who neither knew whom they infected, or who they were infected by. A house in Whitechapel was shut up for the sake of one infected maid, who had only spots, not the tokens come out upon her, and recovered. Yet these people obtained no liberty to stir, neither for air or exercise, 40 days. Want of breath, fear, anger, vexation, and all the other gifts attending such an injurious treatment cast the mistress of the family into a fever, and visitors came into the house, and said it was the plague, though the physicians declared it was not. However, the family were obliged to begin their quarantine anew on the report of the visitors or examiner, though their former quarantine wanted but a few days of being finished. This oppressed them so with anger and grief, and, as before, straitened them also, so much as to room, and for want of breathing and free air, that most of the family fell sick, one of one distemper, one of another, chiefly scorbutic ailments, only one, a violent colic, till, after several prolongings of their confinement, some or other of those that came in with the visitors, to inspect the persons that were ill, in hopes of releasing them, brought the distemper with them, and infected the whole house, and all or most of them died, not of the plague as really upon them before, but of the plague, that those people brought them, who should have been careful, to have protected them from it. And this was a thing which frequently happened, and was indeed one of the worst consequences of shutting houses up. I had about this time a little hardship put upon me, which I was at first greatly afflicted at, and very much disturbed about though, as it proved, it did not expose me to any disaster, and this was being appointed by the alderman of Portsack in Ward 1 of the examiners of the houses, in the precinct where I lived. We had a large parish, and had no less than 18 examiners, as the order called us, the people called us visitors. I endeavored with all my might to be excused from such an employment, and used many arguments with the alderman's deputy to be excused. Particularly I alleged that I was against shutting up houses at all, and that it would be very hard to oblige me to be an instrument in that which was against my judgment, and which I did verily believe would not answer the end it was intended for. But all the abatement I could get was only, that whereas the officer was appointed by my Lord Mayor to continue 2 months, I should be obliged to hold it but 3 weeks, on condition nevertheless, that I could then get some other sufficient housekeeper, to serve the rest of the time for me which was, in short, but a very small favor, it being very difficult to get any man to accept of such an employment that was fit to be entrusted with it. It is true that shutting up of houses had one effect, which I am sensible was of moment, namely, it confined the distempered people, who would otherwise have been both very troublesome and very dangerous in their running about streets with the distemper upon them, which, when they were delirious, they would have done in a most frightful manner, and as indeed they began to do at first very much, till they were thus restrained. Nay, so very open they were that the poor would go about, and beg at people's doors, and say they had the plague upon them, and beg rags for their sores, or both, or anything that delirious nature happened to think of. A poor, unhappy gentlewoman, a substantial citizen's wife, was, if the story be true, murdered by one of these creatures in Aldersgate Street, or that way. He was going along the street, raving mad to be sure, and singing. The people only said he was drunk, but he himself said he had the plague upon him, which it seems was true, and meeting this gentlewoman, he would kiss her. She was terribly frighted, as he was only a rude fellow, and she ran from him, but the street being very thin of people, there was nobody near enough to help her. When she saw he would overtake her, she turned and gave him a thrust so forcibly, he being but weak, and pushed him down backward. But very unhappily, she being so near, he caught hold of her, and pulled her down also, and getting up first, mastered her and kissed her, and which was worst of all, when he had done, told her he had the plague, and why should not she have it as well as he? She was frightened enough before, being also young with child. But when she heard him say he had the plague, she screamed out, and fell down into a swoon, or in a fit, which, though she recovered a little, yet killed her in a very few days, and I never heard whether she had the plague or no. Another infected person came and knocked at the door of a citizen's house, where they knew him very well. The servant let him in, and being told the master of the house was above, he ran up, and came into the room to them as the whole family was at supper. They began to rise up, a little surprised, not knowing what the matter was, but he bid them sit still, he only came to take his leave of them. They asked him, "Why, mister, where are you going?" "Going," says he, "I have got the sickness, and shall die tomorrow night." "'Tis easy to believe, though not to describe, the consternation they were all in. The women and the man's daughters, which were but little girls, were frightened almost to death and got up, one running out at one door and one at another, some downstairs and some upstairs, and getting together as well as they could, locked themselves into their chambers, and screamed out at the window for help, as if they had been frightened out of their wits. The master, more composed than they, though both frightened and provoked, was going to lay hands on him, and throw him downstairs, being in a passion, but then, considering a little the condition of the man, and the danger of touching him, horror seized his mind, and he stood still like one astonished. The poor distempered man all this while, being as well diseased in his brain as in his body, stood still like one amazed. At length he turns round. Says he, with all the seeming calmness imaginable, "is it so with you all? Are you all disturbed at me? Why, then I'll then go home and die there." And so he goes immediately downstairs. The servant that had let him in goes down after him with a candle, but was afraid to go past him, and open the door, so he stood on the stairs, to see what he would do. The man went and opened the door, and went out, and flung the door after him. It was some while before the family recovered the fright, but as no ill consequence attended, they have had occasion, since to speak of it you may be sure, with great satisfaction. Though the man was gone, it was some time, nay, as I heard, some days before they recovered themselves of the hurry they were in, Nor did they go up and down the house with any assurance till they had burned a great variety of fumes, and perfumes in all the rooms, and made a great many smokes of pitch, of gunpowder, and of sulfur, all separately shifted, and washed their clothes, and the like. As to the poor man, whether he lived or died I don't remember. It is most certain that, if by the shutting up of houses the sick had not been confined, multitudes who in the height of their fever, were delirious and distracted would have been continually running up and down the streets, and even as it was a very great number did so, and offered all sorts of violence to those they met, even just as a mad dog runs on, and bites at every one he meets, nor can I doubt but that, should one of those infected, diseased creatures have bitten any man or woman, while the frenzy of the distemper was upon them, they, I mean the person so wounded, would as certainly have been incurably infected as one that was sick before, and had the tokens upon him. I heard of one infected creature who, running out of his bed in his shirt in the anguish and agony of his swellings, of which he had three upon him, got his shoes on, and went to put on his coat. But the nurse resisting, and snatching the coat from him, he threw her down, ran over her, ran downstairs and into the street, directly to the Thames in his shirt, the nurse running after him, and calling to the watch to stop him. But the watchman, frightened at the man, and afraid to touch him, let him go on, upon which he ran down to the Stillyard stairs, threw away his shirt, and plunged into the Thames, and, being a good swimmer, swam quite over the river, and the tide being coming in, as they call it, that is, running westward, he reached the land, not till he came about the Falcon Stairs, where landing, and finding no people there, it being in the night, he ran about the streets there, naked as he was, for a good while, when, it being by that time high water, he takes the river again, and swam back to the Stillyard, landed, ran up the streets again to his own house, knocking at the door, went up the stairs and into his bed again, and that this terrible experiment cured him of the plague, that is to say, that the violent motion of his arms and legs stretched the parts, where the swellings he had upon them were, that is to say, under his arms and his groin, and caused them to ripen and break, and that the cold of the water abated the fever in his blood. I have only to add, that I do not relate this any more than some of the other, as a fact within my own knowledge, so as that I can vouch the truth of them, and especially that of the man, being cured by the extravagant adventure, which I confess I do not think very possible, but it may serve to confirm the many desperate things which the distressed people falling into deliriums, and what we call lightheadedness, were frequently run upon at that time, and how infinitely more such there would have been if such people had not been confined by the shutting up of houses, and this I take to be the best, if not the only good thing which was performed by that severe method. On the other hand, the complaints and the murmurings were very bitter against the thing itself. It would pierce the hearts of all that came by to hear the piteous cries of those infected people, who, being thus out of their understandings by the violence of their pain, or the heat of their blood, were either shut in or perhaps tied in their beds and chairs, to prevent their doing themselves hurt, and who would make a dreadful outcry at their being confined, and at their being not permitted to die at large, as they called it, and as they would have done before. This running of distempered people about the streets was very dismal, and the magistrates did their utmost to prevent it, but as it was generally in the night and all was sudden, when such attempts were made, the officers could not be at hand to prevent it, and even when any got out in the day, the officers appointed did not care to meddle with them, because, as they were all grievously infected, to be sure, when they were come to that height, so they were more than ordinarily infectious, and it was one of the most dangerous things that could be to touch them. On the other hand, they generally ran on, not knowing what they did, till they dropped down stark dead, or till they had exhausted their spirits so as that they would fall, and then die in perhaps half an hour, and, which was most piteous to hear. They were sure to come to themselves entirely in that half hour or hour, and then to make most grievous and piercing cries and lamentations in the deep, afflicting sense of the condition they were in. This was much of it before the order for shutting up of houses was strictly put in execution. For at first the watchmen were not so vigorous and severe as they were afterward in the keeping the people in. That is to say, before they were, I mean some of them, severely punished for their neglect, failing in their duty, and letting people who were under their care slip away, or conniving at their going abroad, whether sick or well. But after they saw the officers appointed to examine into their conduct were resolved to have them do their duty, or be punished for the omission, they were more exact, and the people were strictly restrained. Which was a thing they took so ill, and bore so impatiently, that their discontents can hardly be described. But there was an absolute necessity for it, that must be confessed, unless some other measures had been timely entered upon, and it was too late for that. Had not this particular of the sick being restrained, as above, been our case at that time, London would have been the most dreadful place that ever was in the world. There would, for aught I know, have as many people died in the streets as died in their houses. For when the distemper was at its height it generally made them raving and delirious, and when they were so they would never be persuaded to keep in their beds but by force. And many who were not tied threw themselves out of windows, when they found they could not get leave to go out of their doors. It was for want of people conversing one with another, in this time of calamity, that it was impossible any particular person could come at the knowledge of all the extraordinary cases that occurred in different families. And particularly I believe it was never known to this day, how many people in their deliriums drowned themselves in the Thames, and in the river which runs from the marshes by Hackney, which we generally call Ware River, or Hackney River. As to those which were set down in the weekly bill, they were indeed few, nor could it be known of any of those, whether they drowned themselves by accident or not. But I believe I might reckon up more who within the compass of my knowledge, or observation really drowned themselves in that year, than are put down in the bill of all put together. For many of the bodies were never found who yet were known to be lost, and the like in other methods of self-destruction. There was also one man in, or about Whitecross Street, burned himself to death in his bed. Some said it was done by himself, others that it was by the treachery of the nurse that attended him, but that he had the plague upon him was agreed by all. It was a merciful disposition of Providence also, and which I have many times thought of at that time, that no fires, or no considerable ones at least, happened in the city during that year, which, if it had been otherwise, would have been very dreadful, and either the people must have let them alone unquenched, or have come together in great crowds and throngs, unconcerned at the danger of the infection. Not concerned at the houses they went into, at the goods they handled, or at the persons or the people they came among. But so it was, that excepting that in Cripplegate parish, and two or three little eruptions of fires, which were presently extinguished, there was no disaster of that kind happened in the whole year. They told us a story of a house in a place called Swan Alley, passing from Goswell Street, near the end of Old Street, into Street John Street, that a family was infected there in so terrible a manner, that every one of the house died. The last person lay dead on the floor, and, as it is supposed, had lain herself all along to die just before the fire. The fire, it seems, had fallen from its place, being of wood, and had taken hold of the boards, and the joists they lay on, and burnt as far as just to the body, but had not taken hold of the dead body, though she had little more than her shift on, and had gone out of itself, not burning the rest of the house, though it was a slight timber house. How true this might be I do not determine. But the city being to suffer severely the next year by fire, this year it felt very little of that calamity. Indeed, considering the deliriums which the agony threw people into, and how I have mentioned in their madness, when they were alone, they did many desperate things, it was very strange there were no more disasters of that kind. It has been frequently asked me, and I cannot say that I ever knew how to give a direct answer to it, how it came to pass that so many infected people appeared abroad in the streets at the same time that the houses which were infected were so vigilantly searched, and all of them shut up and guarded as they were. I confess I know not what answer to give to this, unless it be this. That in so great and populous a city as this is it was impossible to discover every house that was infected as soon as it was so, or to shut up all the houses that were infected, so that people had the liberty of going about the streets, even where they pleased, unless they were known to belong to such and such infected houses. It is true that, as several physicians told my Lord Mayor, the fury of the contagion was such at some particular times, and people sickened so fast, and died so soon, that it was impossible, and indeed to know. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.